Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Yeah, we are in Whitefish for the Western Congressional Caucus Summit. We've had some great conversation all week long here, but I'll tell you what, check this out. Here we are sitting down with House Majority Leader Steve Scalise. Leader Scalise, it's been an honor to see you in Montana before. Great to see you back here once again.
Yeah, Aaron, great to be back in Montana. Good to see you again.
Tell you, you know, talk about the Western issues in particular. There was a lot of meat in that one big beautiful bill from a Western perspective alone.
Yeah, there's really so much good for people in the one big beautiful bill, but on Western issues, you know, federal lands has been a big issue, opening up federal lands, especially to energy production. And, you know, Joe Biden, for 4 years, everybody gotten used to Biden just shutting down American energy, and you couldn't produce energy anywhere in America. And so in the bill, we open up so much to production. Production again, where you can drill for oil, natural gas, critical minerals. And, you know, that's one thing I think we're going to see a lot more. It's going to bring down energy costs. It's going to create good jobs. And by the way, it takes leverage away from bad actors like Putin. Putin's making billions a month selling his energy to people around the world. Why should we be doing that when America could fill that void?
That's been what's so amazing about this whole Russia-Ukraine story since day one, is the fact that Joe Biden, his policy, and the policies of the Democrats were funding Putin's side of the war this entire time with their anti-American energy strategy. And now look, President Trump and Republicans in D.C. have us on the path to peace.
Yeah, it's such a remarkable change. You go from Biden, who was just an appeaser. I mean, he really didn't stand up for America or our allies. He became very anti-Israel. He let Putin do whatever he wanted in Ukraine, even though he tried to talk tough. And then, as you said, he was helping fund Putin's war effort by shutting down American energy and emboldening. He green-lighted the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which gave Putin billions of dollars in access to European markets. It was insanity. Trump turned that all around, literally starting day one. We've only been in 7 months with President Trump, and you think of all the things we've been able to do. We solidified America's tax code so that nobody gets a tax increase. That was about to happen. No tax on tips, no tax on overtime are going to be big benefits, not to the millionaires and billionaires, but to middle-class families, to blue-collar workers. You know, you're a shift worker. If you're a cop, if you're a nurse working overtime, you're not going to have to pay taxes on your overtime. And by the way, we made that retroactive to January. So anything you paid all the way up until the bill got signed on July 4th by President Trump, you'll get all that money back. Those are going to be things that put real money in the pockets of hard-working families. And then, of course, we went even further on border security, something that President Trump truly turned around. Biden had open borders. Millions of people came in, including a lot of really bad people. We put a lot of money in place to complete the building of the wall.
All right, we're going to hold it right there. More of our conversation with House Majority Leader Steve Scalise in the Flathead Valley coming up right after this. And then, as promised, later in this show, we'll do an Open Lines Friday, taking your calls and more.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, after Thursday's show, broadcasting live from the Western Congressional Caucus, I got a chance to sit down with House Majority Leader Steve Scalise. Of course, he's there right in line with Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. He's been to Montana several times. For those of you who don't remember, House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, he is the member of Congress who was severely wounded after being shot at a congressional baseball game practiced by that crazed Bernie Sanders supporter. So I'll tell you what, this guy is a fighter. He has fought back after so many health challenges following that that assassination attempt on his life. So great to sit down with him yesterday. We were talking about border security, everything in the one big beautiful bill on that front, which includes, yes, finishing the building of that wall and much more.
Yes, we're going to build the wall. It's fully funded in the one big beautiful bill. We also give our Border Patrol agents the tools they need so that they can actually, they were getting outmanned by the drug cartels of Mexico. You know, the drug cartels had drones, they had night vision goggles, and our Border Patrol didn't have any of that. It was embarrassing. We reversed that by funding technology in that bill. We also, by the way, if you fly on an airplane, you know, maybe you're going on a summer vacation, you're working and you're traveling around, you were seeing all the time airports getting closed all around the country because the software that ran our FAA system was outdated, literally going back to the 1980s. You know, LaGuardia running off of floppy drives. Well, President Trump said, we're going to fix that. And in the one big beautiful bill, we put real money in place to completely modernize our air traffic control system. That means it's going to be a lot safer to fly. And by the way, more consistent. You won't have to worry. If a flight gets canceled, it usually cascades and everybody's flights get canceled for days. You won't see that happening anymore because of the one big beautiful bill.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. 1 year ago, roughly, I got to see you in Bozeman alongside then U.S. Senate candidate Tim Sheehy and Congressman Ryan Zinke. And you think about it, if Montana didn't deliver that victory for now U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy, we wouldn't have any of this stuff you just talked about in the one big beautiful bill.
Yeah, you know, you'd think about a state like Montana and how pivotal it was in the election. You know, Ryan Zinke was, you know, guy I served with the first Trump administration, and Trump pulled him in to be the Secretary of Interior. And then, you know, Trump leaves. Ryan came back to Congress and is doing a great job. He was really critical in helping us get the one big beautiful bill passed. And then you replace Tester, who was a Bernie Sanders acolyte representing the state of Montana, for goodness sake, with Sheehy, who, you know, I've met him a number of times, great candidate, but now he's doing a great job as a senator. He's really out there representing Montana's values for a change. You haven't had a senator do that in probably 12 years, and now you do. And Sheehy's been doing a great job in just a short period of time, but helping us deliver big wins for working families and to get our economy back on track, to get America moving again, to make America great again.
It really feels like, you know, as a kid from the 80s and the 90s, I was a kid, you know, reading Rush Limbaugh's book in the 90s, and I saw Speaker Gingrich delivering balanced budgets. I feel like the Republicans, despite all the frustrations within the Republican caucus these last few years, are finally on track to stay united and truly deliver and get us on the path to balanced budgets once again and trimming back this deficit. Everybody's asking, what's next? Let's see more spending reductions. You delivered one rescissions package. How confident and how much more do you think we can get before the year's out?
Yeah, hopefully a lot more like that. You know, you mentioned the rescissions bill. That was actually my bill to cut billions of dollars, you know, USAID, all the waste and fraud, you know, transgender operas in Peru. Who approved that? You know, why are our tax dollars going to that? Well, that happens no more. It's over. We defunded it. You know, public broadcasting, I mean, far-left organizations getting taxpayer money to do what failed, you know, companies like CNN and CNBC were doing. You know, let the private sector go and spew that garbage. Why should taxpayers be funding it when it's all borrowed money and we need to cut spending and get back to balanced budgets, like you said? So we're going to do more of that. You know, we did a lot of really good things in the one big beautiful bill that we didn't even talk about on things like work requirements in Medicaid and food stamps, the SNAP program. You know, and those were Clinton era things that Obama got rid of and Biden got rid of. So you were paying people $50,000 a year to sit at home. Able-bodied people, $50,000 a year to not work, turning down jobs when we need workers right now. So that changes, too, in the one big beautiful bill. But we need to do more. We need to get back to balanced federal budgets. And how do you do it? Well, first, you start by getting control over spending, which we started to do. Again, $1.6 trillion in waste, fraud, and abuse in Washington that was cut in that one big beautiful bill. But then you also have to get a growing economy. You have to do both. You know, how did Newt Gingrich do it in the 90s? They sure didn't do it by raising taxes. That was the Obama approach. That was the Biden approach. They raised taxes, and what you got is bigger deficits and more inflation. That drove inflation when Washington spends more money. So let's take power away from Washington, give it back to people, get spending under control, and grow the economy. All of those things are included in the one big beautiful bill. There's a talk of doing another what's called reconciliation bill 2.0. You know, now that the one big beautiful bill is done, let's go do more of those kind of things. And we, you know, we're just starting to have those conversations with President Trump, building a coalition. We have to get government funding taken care of. We're actually trying to fund government at lower levels. How about that for a change? You know, not how much more will Washington spend next year than last year. Instead, what if Washington actually spent less money next year than we're spending today? And it was one more step to get us to balanced budgets and living within our means, just like every family here in Montana does.
All right, we're going to hold it right there. I've got just a couple more minutes left, I believe, of my conversation there with House Majority Leader Steve Scalise in Whitefish yesterday. We'll get to the rest of that coming up here after the break. And then, big story out of Helena. Did you guys hear about this? A top Montana Democratic Party operative now being prosecuted in federal court on embezzlement charges to the tune of $250,000. Tyler Newcomb's going to tell us about that story and weigh in on what may be an even bigger story.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, a big Montana politics story broke yesterday. A big Montana corruption story broke yesterday. First heard about this through Tyler Newcomb, who is most recently just stepped down as the executive director of the Montana Republican Party and has got a new gig and still working as a conservative political consultant as well. But this is a huge story. The Montana Television Network has this headline: Montana campaign contractor charged with embezzling $253,000 from clients. But that headline really, I think, doesn't give you the bigger picture here. Here's another headline from the Montana Free Press, a liberal-leaning news outfit. Campaign finance manager accused of wire fraud totaling $253,000. Now, the Montana Sentinel also has this headline: FBI investigation into Montana Democrat Party endorsed campaign treasurer results in charges of wire fraud. Yeah, this is $250,000. Tyler Newcomb's going to tell us about this story and what may be the even bigger story here as well. So stand by, Tyler. We'll get to you here in just a second. But first, back to my conversation with House Majority Leader Steve Scalise in Montana.
I know it's great to have the Western Congressional Caucus here on the ground talking with folks in Montana, because we got a lot of federal bureaucrats that are shutting down Montana jobs, and they've never been here. They couldn't even find a lot of these places on a map. And so it's great to have so many of your members here. Great to have House Majority Leader Steve Scalise here with us as well. Final question for you. I know you got to run, but how optimistic are you now, not only with what's being delivered with the One Big Beautiful Bill, but we get too late Jerome Powell out of the way, we get some interest rates lowered, we keep seeing more peace deals secured by President Trump, we keep seeing more trade deals secured by President Trump. I mean, we really are on the edge of the golden era.
Yeah, I love working with President Trump. I mean, this guy doesn't sleep. He has so much boundless energy. He came in with a much sharper focus. I mean, I've never seen him this focused. You know, he spent 4 years out of office preparing to come back into office, and he knew what he would do. He had, you know, executive orders, you know, the things that we did legislatively. It's not just the One Big Beautiful Bill. His first week in office, we had the Lake and Riley Act on his desk, which allowed him to help deport criminals. Like, you see a lot of the bad guys are catching Biden. They'd catch him and they'd release him the next day. Catch and release was insanity. Now they're not just going to jail. They're going back to their other country in a jail in a foreign land. And, you know, Ryan Zinke has been such a leader helping us pass this agenda. You know, look at what he's doing to bring all of us here to Montana to talk about Western issues. And it's, you know, it just shows you the kind of leadership he has. He was a SEAL team commander, for goodness sake. You don't want to cross that guy. And these crazy bureaucrats who've never worked in the real world and don't care about how their crazy radical regulations hurt people in states like Montana. Those days are changing too, because Donald Trump not only wants to get America back on track, he wants to get the regulatory state, these unelected bureaucrats, back under control. Their job was to be the referee. Imagine if you go play a game. I'm a big sports guy. You know, football season's getting ready to start again. Imagine if you're out on the field, you're worried about the defense sacking your quarterback. What if the referee was going after your quarterback too? You know, that's what we've been dealing with as Republicans, having, you know, you're a small business owner. You've got every federal agency that you're funding trying to shut you down every day instead of trying to lay out, what are the rules of the road? I'll play by the rules. But don't try to shut me down just because, you know, some pointy-headed bureaucrat in Washington thinks that they've got a better way of doing things. Let them go run for office and change the law. So we're getting back and kind of realigning Washington to the way it's supposed to work. Washington's supposed to work for people. People in Montana, I'm from Louisiana. We around the country don't work for Washington, and we're flipping that around now under President Trump.
I'd be remiss if I also didn't add, speaking of football analogies, I don't want our people to just sit out the game because they think that Trump's got everything taken care of. They have got to stay in the game and on the field for the midterm elections, or a lot of this could come to a screeching halt.
Well, it's so true, and it's such an important point, because you go back to 2018. You know, we had 2 years of President Trump in his first term. Things were starting to turn around. We're getting the economy moving again. And people, like you said, got complacent. Hey, look, everything's great. I don't need a vote in 2018. And guess what? The crazy leftists, Marxists, you know, the people that are destroying cities like New York and San Francisco, they showed up in 2018. We didn't. And we ended up with Nancy Pelosi as speaker. And the first thing they did was impeach Trump. They went after all his cabinet secretaries. And the agenda was dead. And the momentum was dead. And our country started taking steps backward again. We can't let that happen next year. It is a midterm election. You know, typically you have lower turnout. If everybody who likes what Trump is doing shows up and votes next year, look out. We will have a run like we haven't seen since Ronald Reagan. And we remember those days. You know, I came up under the Ronald Reagan days of the, you know, the shining city on the hill after years of Carter and malaise, and everybody was depressed and thought, gee whiz, America's best days are behind us. And then boom, Reagan turned it around and reminded us that America is still the greatest country in the history of the world. Trump has done the same thing. I mean, 4 years of Biden may actually be worse than the 4 years of Jimmy Carter, but Carter produced Reagan, Biden produced Donald Trump 2.0, and wow, it has been a great ride, but don't make it a two-year ride. Let's get all 4 years out of Donald Trump's presidency of working and delivering big wins for the American people, which means everybody's got to show up next year. Reelect Ryan Zinke, because he's doing a great job, and it's a tough district that he's in, but let's keep this momentum going.
House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, great to see you here in the Flathead. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Always great to be back. Thanks.
All right, there we go. Yeah, great to catch up with Scalise and so many other members of Congress this week, all week long here. We do have the phone lines open for you. If you want to react to something you heard, or if you got something you want to talk about, give us a call, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Big story breaking here in Montana politics, a major embezzlement scandal that is now been uncovered, federal prosecution moving forward, facing a prominent member of the Montana Democrat Party. As I understand it, she's not just a campaign treasurer for several of the political campaigns for people like Zoe Zephyr. You remember Cora Newman and her crazy votes in the legislature? Some might call her Crazy Cora. Well, this was her campaign treasurer. $250,000. We've got Tyler Newcomb now with us on the phone lines. Tyler was most recently the executive director of the Montana Republican Party. Tyler, what's the story here from your perspective? It sounds like I was talking with Darren Gobb out of Helena earlier this morning. He says he's had sources given he's been researching this for several months now. And so sounds like this thing just finally broke wide open.
Yeah, it did. And I mean, I think if we look at the headlines too, I mean, one of the things we can't expect the media to ever tell the full story, but this isn't just some bookkeeper. It's not a volunteer. It's not a junior staffer. This is somebody who quite literally ran the books for Ben Elke. Most people probably don't know his name, but he was the candidate who ran against Austin Knutson, and everyone from him to Zoe Zephyr to Commissioner Brown's opponent. And yeah, I really think, Aaron, it's a symptom of a much bigger problem for the Montana Democrats.
Yeah, and I think Darren Gobb, if I remember right, told me that this Abby Cook is her name, because Darren Gobb's got a great write-up at MontanaSentinel.press. Yeah, Abby Lee Cook. She has been officially charged with allegedly embezzling over $250,000 in funds. Not only was she the treasurer for several of these Democrat politicians, but also the left-wing candidates for Supreme Court, like Jeremiah Lynch, and also did finance work for all of these left-wing Democrat Party front groups, like these fake phony seniors organizations or Planned Parenthood. So she is literally the money bags for all so many of these characters. And then I think, if I remember right, Darren Gobb told me that she was a board member for the Montana Democrat Party herself.
She was. We can't pretend that the Montana Democrats have any credibility and that they haven't been hemorrhaging it for years. But it's a symptom of a bigger problem that somebody like that is so highly involved in their party. And it's not just like a one-time scandal. It's the latest chapter in a much longer story. I mean, if we look back at the last political cycle from the Democrats and Grift, you can look at people like James Mullen, who ran, who had plenty of complaints about being forced to use certain consultants, and most of those money is not even going directly to the campaigns. And so it just begs to question why any Democrat donor would have any sort of institutional trust in that organization.
Yeah, you mentioned...
They can't even manage...
Oh, go ahead.
If they can't even manage their own books without getting scammed, how could Montanans trust them to manage a state budget?
You mentioned Jesse Mullen. He was the Democrat candidate for Secretary of State last year. He posted on X 19 hours ago yesterday. He says this. He says, last September, I stepped down from the executive board due to numerous red flags surrounding the Montana Democrats' refusal to provide financial reports to its own board. Yesterday, the party-recommended campaign treasurer pled guilty to defrauding Democrat candidates. That, to me, right there is a smoking gun that says there is more to this scandal than just this one person, just this one treasurer. Because if Jesse Mullen, I remember last year when he openly said he was stepping down from that party for financial mismanagement, and they basically forced him out instead of fixed their own books. That tells me there were a lot more people involved in this.
Well, I think you're totally right, Aaron, and we can't forget that. I think this is just, it's a culture of corruption in their party. And we can't forget Ryan Bussey. The race was called after 3 minutes. He ran one of the most ineffective, bloated, and mismanaged campaigns, maybe even in the history of Montana. Tens and tens of thousands of dollars were wasted on him putting his wife on payroll, him overpaying consultants. I want to say they spent thousands of dollars on Ubers and restaurants.
Some fancy restaurants at that, too. Yeah. Hold that thought. Tyler, we got to take a quick break. We'll come back to Tyler Newcomb. More on this story right after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
The United States and European Union have jointly announced details of their framework trade pact, including broad new market access for U.S. agriculture. It's a big deal for U.S. ag, maybe the biggest stemming from efforts to avert a tariff war after decades of trade barriers by the 27-nation EU trade bloc. European Commission Trade Chief Maroš Šefčovič announced the deal in Brussels.
On our side, the Commission is taking concrete steps to remove tariffs on all U.S. industrial goods and expand market access for U.S. seafood and agricultural products.
The European Union, in return for a lowered 15% U.S. duty, will give preferential market access to U.S. dairy, soybean oil, pork, fruits, nuts, and vegetables, the White House said in a joint EU statement. The deal also will streamline requirements for sanitary certificates for U.S. pork and dairy products. Šefčovič says the EU is fully behind the deal and committed to deliver it.
The alternative, a trade war with sky-high tariffs and political escalation, helps no one. It hurts jobs, it hurts growth, and it damages businesses across both the EU and the U.S.
Shefkovich said the framework is not the end, but the beginning to grow over time to expand market access even further. I'm Lee Northline.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we do have the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Back to it in the meantime here with Tyler Newcomb, most recently served as executive director for the Montana Republican Party. Yeah, Tyler, you were talking about this, really what's being exposed here, the Democrat Party of Montana's own treasurer, basically being prosecuted for wire fraud. Not a volunteer, not some staffer, the person they chose to handle their money. And I think this Jesse Mullen tweet where he was blowing the whistle on this stuff and trying to fix their books shows that they knew exactly what was going on. And so there are more people that could get rolled up in this whole scandal here. But talk about, I think the other thing to point out here is, to me, Tyler, this is so symbolic of the USAID scandal that DOGE exposed at the national level, you know, the U.S. Agency for International Development, where you have all of these grifters out there, all of these nonprofit organizations, all of these, you know, Democrat Party front groups, and USAID funds, you know, our taxpayer dollars were being used against us. There was fraud, waste, and abuse on a massive scale. And then they were taking our money to fund these stupid programs. And then our money was used against us and against Western interests and against Western values all over the world. Haiti was a great case in point, where like 5% of the money that was supposed to go to Haiti for aid and for relief, only like 5% of that money actually went to Haiti. The West went to these grifters in the federal swamp bureaucracy or in the Democrat Party. And that's what is looking like what's happening here, is that you had the Zoe Zephyrs of the world attacking our Montana Capitol with the transurrection, when all these transgender activists attacked our Montana Capitol. And then he got a bunch of headlines in the national press cheering on this transurrection. So he raises a whole boatload of money. And then before you know it, he's traveling all over the world, visiting all these fancy beaches in, you know, Florida, in Europe, using campaign funds to do it. So no wonder the treasurer for the Democrat Party decided to take a little slice for herself as well, right?
Right, yeah, it's not a surprise at all. I mean, there's a total culture of corruption that's occurring within the Democratic Party. And I mean, I think if we're going to be honest, like, they're a party that's in complete freefall. The Democrats are in a full-blown death spiral between the theft, the failed campaigns, the collapsing fundraising. It's not just a bad week. This is a bad series of years. And, you know, the biggest question I would ask myself if I were somebody who was functionally an investor, because that's what you are as a donor, and I was a Democrat, is where is my money going? Because clearly it's not going towards winning elections.
Yeah. And it's lining the pockets of just party operatives here. Well, you mentioned Ryan Bussey, who was the Democrat candidate for governor. I mean, this guy is just basically the definition of the modern day grifter in the Democrat Party, where, okay, I mean, just let's just look at the history of who this guy is here. You know, I'll tell you what, we talked to our friends down at the SHOT Show, at the world's largest gun show. You talk with the guys that are in the gun industry and that defend our Second Amendment rights, and they will tell you exactly who this guy is. You know, oh, first he takes a check from the gun industry and pads his wallet that way. And then what does he do after that? Oh, he figures out he can pad his wallet by taking a check from the anti-gun industry. Oh, and then he takes a check from, you know, from the state of California supporting, testifying in behalf of their gun ban in California to the tune of $150 an hour to testify in support of their gun ban. But then he runs for Democrat governor and pretends to be a moderate, pretends to not be a gun control activist, even as he sat on Joe Biden's presidential campaign, even as he sits as a member of the Gabby Giffords gun control group. I mean, give me a break. It is just such a symptom of the grift that is throughout that party right now.
Yeah, no, and like, I'm not going to pretend to know their marital situation, and frankly, Aaron, I don't care to, but I mean, hiring your wife for thousands and thousands of dollars a month to seemingly do nothing seems to be just an addition to that very grift. I mean, I just think, like, more broadly, Aaron, the Democrat Party's that their chair is starting to look a lot like an eco-friendly version of the CEO of Enron. And it's no surprise that their donors are fleeing faster than the Venezuelan gang members that we're deporting. And I really think that this is a party that's just in complete collapse. And this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, when you talk about the current state of the Democrat Party and what their party chair is looking like right now, comparing to the Venezuelan gang members, I think of the audio of that illegal alien who just got arrested by authorities in Washington, D.C., screaming, "Oh, I'm not the criminal, I'm not the criminal." It's like, yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Yeah, see you later. All right, Tyler Newcomb. Well, hey, thanks for flagging this story for me yesterday. The moment I heard something about campaign finance, embezzlement and fraud, I just knew Zoe Zephyr had to be tied into this somehow or another because, man, that guy was just raking in the dollars from all over the country after cheering on that transurrection attack on our Montana Capitol. So thanks for shedding some light on that. Anything else you want to share with our listeners before we let you go?
No, thanks so much for having me on, Aaron.
Hey, thanks for calling in. All right, I appreciate it. And by the way, phone lines are open for you as well. If you got something you want to talk about or you want to jump in on the conversation. Meanwhile, okay, good. Caden is sending us our next caller here as well. Another big story I want to talk about this morning here before we run out of time. In fact, I was hoping that Rick Holden might also give us a call because big news out of Dawson County here in Montana regarding that big wind farm that is attempting to be built there. The Dawson County Planning Board has now taken some additional steps to protect the citizens of Dawson County when it comes to industrial wind farms and wind turbine development. I got a note from Rick Holden out of Glendive here earlier this morning. So I want to share that with you here for sure, and maybe Rick will call in. In the meantime, we've got Chris in Columbia Falls on the phone lines here. Chris, what's on your mind this morning, and thanks for the call.
Well, I was watching Newspax, and they had a piece on there, what I was trying to hit on a few weeks ago, how the communists and socialists and all these things are so ingrained in our society. And if we don't hurry up and get a handle on some of this, this is where, you know, you've got to connect the dots, people. And, you know, going way back to the 64, there's no moral absolutes with these people. No right, no wrong. So they have this, you know, watching that guy that was in this country and he drove the truck on the side, just his coldness, the coldness that he seemed like he had. So the communist and socialism in this country to lie, cheat, steal, and murder is perfectly moral to these people. And this is what I'm seeing is that the communists that are training our children and reaching them for some reason or other, you know, pull me this, pull me that. And they so for them to lie, cheat, and steal and murder, it's nothing to them. This helps the socialistic movement in this country.
Yeah, there are no double standards. This is by design, right, Chris? The leftists, like all of the cultural Marxist leftist movements before them, it's not about being double standards. It's about disrupting the system. It's about causing chaos so they can transform the country into something else. Chris, I've been listening to this audiobook by Jack Posobiec called Unhumans, where he goes into the history of communism and then talks about the modern-day cultural Marxists in America that you've talked about often, right? And he makes the point in there that how do we combat these cultural Marxists that are trying to turn our country into something else? And he said something interesting. He said either everybody has to step up and do something or one man has to do everything. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago, Chuck Todd, the disgraced former host of NBC's Meet the Press, he was talking about Donald Trump, and he said Donald Trump, much like FDR, is getting involved in everything. And I thought that was very telling. As I listened to Jack Posobiec's book about the unhumans, I thought this is what Donald Trump is doing. If our country is going to survive as a free republic for another 250 years, right now, one man is doing everything. And that's why Donald Trump is getting involved in everything, from the Smithsonian museums and the woke anti-American garbage they're promoting to the streets of D.C. One man is doing everything to save this country. But the rest of us also need to step up at the same time. Okay, let's see. We got another caller on the phone lines. Grandpa Lou in Billings. Caden, you can send that one to me. We'll get to Grandpa Lou right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What do we love here in Big Sky Country? What do we love here in Montana? Big Sky. We love Big Sky and Big Sky Country. Okay, I want you to think about driving through Billings, Montana, driving through downtown Billings, and you see the DoubleTree Hotel, the second tallest building in Billings, and then you see the First Interstate Tower, the tallest building in the whole state, right? Now imagine wind farms and windmills and wind turbines even taller than both of those buildings, destroying your view around the beautiful Mikoshika State Park, for example. Imagine that. Well, I'll tell you what, that's what Rick Holden, former state senator out of Glendive, has been talking about here and so many others in eastern Montana have been talking about as they've been trying to fight this proposed wind farm in eastern Montana, just one of a few. Anyway, Rick Holden sent me an update, a press release earlier this morning. The Dawson County Planning Board has taken steps to protect the citizens of Dawson County from the adverse effects of industrial wind turbine development. The planning board met in regular session to debate the zoning regulations put forth in the June meeting. Former State Senator Rick Holden congratulating the members for listening to 6 months of testimony and then deliberating the facts that were presented by both the industrial wind companies and the citizens of Dawson County. He says the newly approved general provisions establish setback restrictions from neighboring property lines. Giant structures over 250 feet are not allowed within 1 mile of a person's house or commercial structure. Large structures are not permitted to be built any closer than 10 miles from Mikoshika State Park or 5 miles from the city limits of Glendive or Ritchie. The Yellowstone River corridor is protected by establishing a protection zone of 3 miles from the center of the river channel. Holden noted that there are still some issues to resolve, like prohibiting the disposal of the wind turbines in the county once they no longer work and coming up with height restrictions to protect the viewshed of Dawson County and Big Sky Country in particular. He says on a vote of 5-2, the recommendations move on to the county commissioners for passage and approval. So, Rick Holden, thanks for that update. Freedom Friday here on Montana Talks, and the phone lines are open for you. Another way to talk about Freedom Friday is Red Friday and remembering everybody deployed. Grandpa Lou in Billings, one of our great Marine Corps veteran listeners. Grandpa Lou, what's on your mind on this Freedom Friday? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thank you for your service, Aaron. And that Rick Holden, I believe he's a Marine also. He's an outstanding young man. Hey, just remember everybody deployed, and thanks everyone for your service. And please say a prayer for everybody. And I was listening on the 8 o'clock hour, and about that billboard up in Carbon County with that rhino Brad Barker, I got to put a shout out and thank you to was that the Republican Freedom Caucus or something from Carbon County that put that up. But I think he was one of the original Dirty Nine or something, wasn't he, or Dirty Seven, whatever.
Well, the people that they got that earned this, they got this nickname, the Nasty Nine, as the Freedom Caucus called. That was in the state Senate, but I know the Freedom Caucus was also targeting several members of the state House for voting too much against Republican priorities and bills. And I know his name was on that list of House Republicans that were voting too often with the Democrats. But yeah, for those who haven't seen it, Kat in eastern Montana, she's now a part of what's called the Rhino Removal Project. And so she was telling us about this new billboard that's up targeting State Representative Brad Barker on the drive to Red Lodge. So some of our listeners have already been sending us that billboard, a photo of that billboard already as well.
Hey, and I want to remind everybody of the food truck battle tomorrow down by Shipton's at the Reserve Center there. And all veterans get in free. And thank you for your service, and have a good day.
All right, Grandpa Lou, you have a great weekend as well. Yeah, I think that food truck battle ends up being donated to several good causes, veterans' causes in particular, if I remember right. So thanks for giving them a shout-out. Let's see. All right, almost out of time here on this Friday, on this Freedom Friday. What else could we throw at you here real fast since we're short on time? There's a million things I could talk about, but now we only got about a minute or so left here. Let's see. Let me think here. Oh, yeah, I mentioned yesterday, some of you didn't get a chance to hear this yet. Oh, all proceeds go to veterans organizations for that food truck battle. Thanks to our producer, Caden, for that reminder. Let's see. I've got some fresh content on our Montana Talks website right now. Some of you didn't get a chance to hear my conversation with Congressman Tom Tiffany, the chair of the Federal Lands Committee in Congress. I'll get that on our Montana Talks website here shortly after the show, plus Congressman Ron Estes, who's on the Budget Committee and on the Ways and Means Committee. He's out of Kansas. I'll get that on our Montana Talks website. Plus, we've got a whole bunch of other content, all the way from Eugene's Pizza in Glasgow and the big change they just announced, to Zach Topp, the great country music artist, giving a shout-out to Missoula and to Montana in a new song that he released here recently. Speaking of releases, Pheasants Gone Wild. Thousands of pheasants have now been released for 2025 Montana hunters. Denny Bedard's got that story for us out of Missoula. He always does a great job covering the outdoor issues because he works very closely with the captain and crew from the outdoor radio show. So all that content, more go to MontanaTalks.com.